I'm a dreamer. I think people also describe me as a dreamer. I have big dreams. In LA, you feel like the possibilities are endless. Talk about dreams that can be fulfilled. You really feel like you can make anything happen, like there's no ceiling. Acting is telling a story about humanity. That's what it is. You can't wait for somebody to say yes, to give you permission to be creative. You can be creative on your own. You don't have to wait for somebody to say, yes, yes, okay, now you can be creative, you can do it. No, you give yourself. You put something together for yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and girls, I'm so happy that you are listening to this podcast. It is the I Love Success podcast, and we are redefining success. My big, fat, and crazy mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. And I can't do it myself. To succeed with my goal, I need you to go after your dream because you matter to me. And I really, really honestly believe that you can make your life better. So to do that, I meet with some of the most amazing people in the world. And today's guest is Michelle Danner. She's a world-renowned acting coach. And I went to her own acting studio that she have had for 18 years in Santa Monica. We spoke about acting, about expressing yourself, about following your dreams, about being creative, and about doing something extraordinary. So just relax, kick back, and enjoy the show. Let's go. Welcome, Michelle.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here today, just a couple of blocks from my studio, but I decided to come to you because I want to see what you're doing here and talk about your life, your journey, and share some tools for the people listening to this. So let's start with you and your early life. You were born in Paris, right?
Yes.
Yes. Can you talk a little bit about
that? No, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't born in Paris. I was born in New York City.
New York City, yeah.
But my dad worked for the William Morris Agency, and they asked him to be the president and open the very first offices of the William Morris in Paris, in France. So that's when I was 4 years old, we moved to Paris, and he set up the very first offices that the William Morris had there off the Champs-Élysées. And I remember when I was little going to his office and being under the desk and some very big, iconic singers and actors would come to the house, Edith Piaf, Maurice Chevalier, Sammy Davis Jr., and many more. And so I was raised in an atmosphere of entertainment. But not only that, but I had a European upbringing. And so I was exposed to writers, and I was very intellectual as a child. I would read a lot. And I was very happy to be raised in Paris and traveled all over Europe. And it was a great, great upbringing. And I did a lot of plays. I did Molière and Jean-Paul Sartre and Anouilh. And so at a very early age, I was exposed to classics and traveled all over the world.
Amazing. And how did you end up in LA? When did you move here?
I ended up in Los Angeles. I was I moved from Paris. I moved to New York, where I was a teen, and I studied with Stella Adler, and I studied with Uta Hagen and Herbert Bergdorf and some wonderful New York teachers that continued to inspire me and give me love of the theater and love of acting. And I had an agent, and I had to do a screen test, and I did for a movie, and then I did an audition for a show called 30-something. And anyway, long story short, I ended up moving here to L.A. And set my roots here. I really liked Los Angeles. I love New York. I mean, at heart, I'm a New Yorker. I was telling my 15-year-old son that I feel at home in many places in the world. I speak five languages fluently. I speak Spanish, I speak French, I speak Italian, I speak some Portuguese, I speak English. But many places where I go in the world, I feel very, very comfortable because I speak the language. Yeah. But I'm a New Yorker at heart. I was born in New York, and I go back to New York every month to 6 weeks because my family is there. But I love LA. LA is, you know, a great way to live. It's very easy to live in LA. It and it's very creative. In LA, you feel like the possibilities are endless. Talk about dreams that can be fulfilled. You really feel like you can make anything happen, like there's no ceiling. And I felt that energy, you know, very quickly here. And there's a lot of people that are pursuing, you know, creativity. And if you start to create a community, you know, you can partner up with other people and make it happen.
One thing that I'm a little bit curious about, what is really acting to you? What is acting?
You know, acting is taking, it's a storytelling. Acting is telling a story about humanity. That's what it is. It's illuminating something that is very human. It's holding up a mirror and saying something to the world about the state of our human condition, what's going on in life. And the world needs that because, well, we know more now than ever, the world, I mean, in our country, it's never been so flabbergasting politically. As I was even driving here, I was at a light, not that I'm looking at my cell phone, but I saw, I mean, what every single day we are bombarded by the most incredible news. And there is, you know, it just, there's not, it's such a time of divide. And there's so much violence in this world, and there's so much cruelty. That I always tell my students that the world needs actors to tell stories, to tell these stories and to make, you know, to make people feel. Because people need to feel. You know, it's easy to numb yourself. And there's so many ways that you can numb. But to really stay open and to feel. And the job of an actor through storytelling, through acting, is to make people feel.
Yeah. I never thought about it that way, but it's so interesting. And telling stories is amazing. And making people feel something. Sometimes when I watch a film, when you know, when you start crying, or when you're angry, or when you're happy, it's an amazing feeling. And I'm curious, when you work with your actors, what do you have to do as an actor or as a human being to be able to feel so you can portray that in a film or in a play?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's to stay open. To stay open to feeling it yourself. To letting yourself experience your life. To being, you know, empathetic. I always, you know, say if there was one word that you truly need, I mean, there's many words that you need to be a great actor, but if it's really one word that you need is empathy. You need to have that empathy to be able to, you know, dig in to take on who this person is. What their deal is, what their plight is, what their life is, what their journey is. So you can ultimately teach. You know, I always tell my students, you are teachers of humanity. That's your mission. You get to teach in this lifetime. And when I understood that, it truly got me off of, you know, me, no matter, you know, how neurotic I am, or no matter what's going on with me, or the bullshit that's going on in my life, if I'm really connected to that, you know, everything else falls by the wayside because that mission is more important than anything else.
And how does it work? Let's say a person come to LA today, they land at LAX, and they want to do something with their life when it comes to acting. What is the first step for them to get started?
Well, they should get an apartment. No, I'm just kidding. After they do all the logistics of all of that, you know, they probably should look in. Depends, I mean, if they have lots of training. A lot of people come from different parts of the world, and they already have big careers in their country. And although they find themselves like they have to be here, and they start, you know, they feel like they're starting from scratch. I mean, I know somebody who's like the Meryl Streep of her country, you know, in Turkey, and yet here it's, you know, she's starting at the beginning. Yeah. But what she did is she came, she looked for an acting studio. She looked for a place where she could work out. She looked for the gym. You know, you look for the gym. That's part of it. I mean, people look for the real gym, and then you look for the acting gym.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you look for representation. You look for the agent. You look for the manager. You look for who's going to look over your contracts. You look for the lawyer. You ask questions. You know, you have lots of conversations with people to find out, you know, when the time comes, who's going to be the right publicist. And then you start to meet people. You start to meet people because you start to forge relationships. That's, I have so many relationships in my life that I've had for decades. And, you know, I collaborate and I pick up the phone. And recently I was doing this movie and I've known of this actor for years. He inspired me. Talk about when I was 15 years old in New York, I went to see him perform in New York. And his name is Dan Lauria. He's a very well-known, famous actor, wonderful actor. He was in The Wonder Years. He played the dad. He was in so many things, a million things. And, I mean, I remember there was one performance that I saw him in that it just blew me away in New York. And I never forgot it. And I was casting this movie that I just shot, the psychological thriller called Bad Impulse. And I thought, Dan Lauria. So I called his agent, Harry Gold, and I said, please tell Dan, I would love for him to come and play this part. And I was just so lucky that he came. And I mean, I don't know that he knows this, and I probably won't listen to this podcast, but he actually made a dream come through because I truly, you know, revered him as an actor. You know, I love actors. I really love actors. So, you know, you come, you because you don't know, the point I make by telling Dan's stories, you don't know, you could forge a relationship with someone, and they could call you a decade later, they could call you 3 decades later, and ask, you know, to work with you. So it's about relationships. It's about forging relationships, it's about connecting with people, writers, directors, other actors, producers, you know, directors of photography. I love directors of photography. Yeah. You know, I love my director of photography that I've worked with on 4 movies. So that's, you know, editors. I mean, I have a great relationship with my editor. That's who you have to forge the connections with.
Yeah. People that come here to learn and to become an actor, what else do they need to do to become good at going to auditions and this whole business? What is important?
I think that they have to be proactive. They have to find something. Listen, not everybody is going to be the person that's going to put together a movie for themselves. You know, not everybody is going to be, you know, I mean, look at, I'm blank, what's her name? Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
You know, when I coached Salma Hayek, I mean, she didn't have her production company. She had an optioned Ugly Betty. She didn't do Frida Kahlo. You know, and everybody's going to be proactive like she is, you know? You're going to create your own work. Not everybody's going to be Amy Schumer that's going to write a script. And it's going to, not everybody is going to be, some people are going to maybe introduce somebody to someone else. And then, you know, everybody has a different journey. Everybody has a different karma. But the idea of being proactive, that word proactive, can take different variations for different people. So everybody should sit and find out what does proactive mean to them. They should, you know, daydream on that word and see where that leads them. So I think that's very important, is, you know, what are the steps that they can take? For some people, it will be like Amy Schumer. It will be writing a script and maybe thinking, maybe I'm not going to play the lead, but I'm going to write a great script. And then finding out, whoa, I'm going to play the lead, like in Trainwreck. Or I was watching the series on Netflix called Love. Paul Rust, he's hilarious in it. He created it. He's a producer in it. He's a writer in it. People have to take action. People have to take action with their careers, because that old cliche of I'm going to sit by the phone and wait for the phone to ring, people get so excited. All my young actors come up to me and I just signed with an agent, I just signed with a manager, and I'm excited for them. But, you know, it's not the end all be of everything. It doesn't, and then 3 months later, they haven't gotten a single audition, because you can't wait for them to put your career on a platter for you, because that's not ultimately what always happens. Some people, listen, are lucky. You know, they come, they walk in, they get an audition, they book something else, and then the ball's rolling, they've broken the ice, and that's it. They just start to work, and they never stop working. And, you know, God bless them. That's great. Some people have a harder time. For some people, it takes 6 years, 8 years, 10 years. How long should you wait until the ice breaks? Well, it depends. I mean, again, it's different, you know, for everyone. But what's clear is that there are proactive things that you can do so that you can still work. You know, I always say you can't wait for somebody to say yes, to give you permission to be creative. You can be creative on your own. You don't have to wait for somebody to say yes, yes, okay, now you can be creative, you can do it. No, you give yourself. You put something together for yourself.
Especially in this day and age, right? We can create almost anything. We have access to cameras. We can put it online. And if someone sees it, we can get the attention, right? So it's a good age to be in. And I love what you're saying. Don't wait for someone to give you the permission or that contract. You have to do it. If you really want to become an actor or whatever it is, don't wait for the permission.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Anybody nowadays can shoot something. You can shoot it on your cell phone, like that movie Tangerine, you know, with some lenses. You can truly shoot something great on your cell phone. But, you know, being the festival director, we're on our sixth year of a boutique film festival here called Cinema at the Edge, and having gotten, you know, close to, I think, 400 submissions of narratives, documentaries, and shorts. I can tell you that people rush to shoot things, and they rush to submit them as well. And when things are not ready, you know, don't do it half-ass. Yeah. Put time into it to conceive it, put thought into it, do it the right way. Don't do it just because you have access to a camera and you have access to a script and you have access to actors, and because the talk here is do it. Yeah. Yes, of course, do it, but do it with integrity. Do it, you know, the right way. Think it, what does it mean, the right way? The right way is not half-ass. Yeah. Half-ass is not the right way.
No, I agree. And I think passion comes in there. There's so many people that want to do things, for example, acting. There's so many people that loves the idea of being an actor, right? Or for me, I was an athlete. There's so many people that loves the idea of being a champion, of being this great athlete. But there's so few that want to experience the journey to become that person.
But they understand that, to understand what goes into it. I'm working with this actress from another country who is so talented. And she said, she copped to it. She said, I had no idea what it took. And so that discombobulated her a little bit. That made her, made her take a step back. She thought because she was a good actress, because she had access to her emotions, that she was going to, and she's pretty, that she was going to come here and she was going to have this great career. And there's a lot of pretty actors that get emotional. You know, it takes so much more than that. Yeah. That's only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a self-created luck too, right? Because you were talking about this young girl in Paris, being proactive even then, right, with reading all these books and doing this. So one thing that I really take away is that you have to take action, but have to take the right action for you. Because a lot of people say, yeah, I'm taking action, but is it in accordance with who you are as a human being? That's when you truly can excel, don't you think?
Right. I mean, I think taking action is very interesting, the image that comes up with taking action. And you should reflect on that a little bit, you know? It's so hard because we live fast. We're in this, everything is so fast all the time. And especially, you know, when you have kids, everything changes. You know, I always say it. I always get a laugh, you know? I don't know if I can curse here on your podcast. Yeah. You know, listen, when you have kids, you are fucked, but in this amazing way and in a wonderful way. But you know, when your life, your time, I mean, are you kidding? You have time for nothing. Yeah. There's no more time for anything. You're done. You know, you're done. And you think like when they're 18, you know, they're out the door and it's over. That's not true. I see it with my niece. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? We're like consumed by her, you know, and she's like in college. It's not over. It's never over. I mean, it's like once you have it, it's forget it. And, you know, it takes it all out of you. So you don't have kids, right?
Not yet.
So these are your golden years. Yeah. You have to understand this. This is like you can be selfish. You can do anything you want. It's your time. I share this a lot. I remember coming out after teaching a class on the 3rd Street Promenade. That's where our studio was, you know. And I would go see 4 movies in a row. I'm not kidding. I would see one at 4. I would see one at 6, at 8, and at 10. I wouldn't come home. And I was free as a bird. That's what freedom truly meant. I could do whatever I wanted. So, okay, my life has changed. Listen, I'm very happy. I have wonderful kids. I mean, yes, I'm not complaining by no means. But what I'm saying is time. And so, you know, you can make the wrong choices by taking action, by not reflecting enough, by not taking a moment to breathe into what the right action could potentially be, because, you know, you've got it going on. And so it's really important. And you could also make the wrong choice, obviously, without having kids, because you're living on that fast lane.
But how so do you know what the right strategy is?
I don't think you may have to not know. You may have to fall on your face, like, because life, you know, is that. Life is falling on your face and getting hurt and picking yourself up and making another choice and then another choice and losing that ship because that ship has sailed and getting on another ship. And those are life lessons, you know, the cards that you're dealt. And you just have to live. But the key, I think, is not about making the wrong choices and taking the wrong actions. That's fine. I think that's okay. The key is to not have lived it fully. That's the key. The key is that if you fuck up, you fuck up, and that's okay. But it's to not do. I think that's the thing. You have to do.
And one last question is something that I ask all my guests, because we're all about sharing stories, but at the end of the day, I want the people that are doing it, listening to this, to take action in their own life and get closer to their dreams and goals. So if it would just be one thing they could do right now after listening to this to get closer to what they want, what would that be?
You know, just write a list of what you are actually doing right now for making your dream come through, and what you feel, you know, start with the things you are doing and then write what you should be doing. And then every single day, just take one little small step towards what you should be doing. It's baby steps. Just tell yourselves, talk to yourself. Tell yourself, you know, I'm going to take baby steps. And because it's, when you get scared is because when you think you have to take this giant leap, you know, maybe you don't have to take, you just have to take one little step at the time and stay consistent. Every single day you have to take a little step.
That's so true. And it seems like you read my book. That is so true. Every person that I meet that have come far in their life, they say this because it is true. It adds up. And here we are, in your studio, sitting, talking, sharing, you know? And this is only the beginning. Even though you come so far, there's so much more to do, right? Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a great conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you did this and took off your valuable time. And I'm certain this will help and inspire the people that are listening. And I want to thank you guys that are listening to this. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure to share this with someone that you think really needs this, or maybe someone that would never wanted to listen to this, just so they can also get these ideas and start thinking about their own life, about taking the action we've been talking about today, and about daring. Thank you so much, and talk soon. Bye-bye.